Join me for the reading of God's word from Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and he fell in, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Lord, bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. It's a privilege to be here. This church is special to me. My son-in-law came here to preschool, which is quite a few years ago, and my 3 oldest grandchildren all were part of the preschool in your church, and we spent a lot of fun hours here with some wonderful people caring for our children. So this day of children's worship is really special to me. I want to share today about Jericho Road and the ministry we have there. We are specifically a medical center, but we're so much more than that. And I hope to just share with you a little bit about what we do beyond basic and excellent medical care. Jericho Road opened 20 years ago in 2017 in September. And the first week we were open, the clinic saw 3 patients. That's a total of 3 patients all week long. When Dr. Click opened the clinic, he really believed there was such a need for medical services on the west side that he expected to be overwhelmed, he and his wife, and who ran the front office, and 1 nurse. And I think they were a little disappointed that they had such a small turnout. But God is good, and I believe God blessed his faithfulness and his devotion to the work and the people in the city of Buffalo. And this year, we probably serve 1,500 people a week in our 2 clinics, one on the west side and one on the east side. And it's been exciting to watch what's happened there over the last 20 years and be part of that. I came to Jericho Road 19 and a half years ago as a patient. I was working on the west side of Buffalo and looking for a new primary care physician, and I was a volunteer in another ministry in Buffalo, Urban Christian Ministries. One of the things I did there was edit the newsletter, and someone had done an interview with Dr. Glick about this clinic he was starting on the west side, and I thought, well, I work there anyway. I'm over there all the time during the day, so we need to support this work. And it's been a great thing for us and really has changed our lives because of the doors that God has opened for us over there. If you're not familiar with Jericho Road, we're really unique, and it's because our patients are unique. We have people at Jericho Road who speak 57 different languages. Those are our patients. I'm a language teacher, formerly language teacher. I didn't know there were 57 languages in the world. I can't imagine how difficult it would be to serve people who don't speak your own language and provide good medical care, but Jericho Road has found a way to do that. We hire our patients back, and we hire them as interpreters, and we use interpreters who can speak over 40 languages. So it's an exciting and very dynamic place to be, and if you like the idea of the United Nations, you should just come on down and sit in our waiting room sometime. It's a unique experience. But at Jericho Road, our foundational verse is found in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, and that's the verse that reminds us that what God requires of us is that we do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. So I know a lot of churches have an Old Testament reference or reading every morning or every Sunday, and then a New Testament reading. And so Jericho Road kind of has that Old Testament foundational verse. And then we have this story that we read in the Gospel of Luke about the man on the road to Jericho, which is certainly where we got our name, is from that biblical story. And well-deserved. Because we see the most vulnerable people in the city of Buffalo, and 7,000 of those patients that we have are children under the age of 17. So what we do at Jericho Road impacts their lives every day. The parents that we see also, we have many programs that help them become better parents, better advocates for their children. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about the programs above and beyond our medical programs, which make us also a unique community health center in the city of Buffalo. About 5 years after the clinic opened and it was beginning to be stabilized, the medical staff recognized that the people that we serve have so many needs beyond basic medical care. They were struggling with educational issues and case management issues and financial issues. And so we began to provide programs. And I'm just going to give you a list of the kinds of programs that we have that help people to deal with the situations their families find themselves in all the time. And I could talk for 20 minutes on each of those, but I will not. So. I should also mention 56% of our patients do not speak English either at all, or they speak English only as a second, third, fourth language. I met a man this past week who speaks 9 languages. He's from Lebanon, and English is his 9th language and his weakest language. So that's amazing to me. These people, you know, have been through so much in their lives. They've lived in countries as they traveled and finally ended up here and have been able to learn all these languages, which is a lot more than I can say for myself. I'm finding it much more difficult to learn new languages as I get older. So, we provide services in language first. We started ESL classes, was one of the first additional programs we added on. We have financial programs to help people learn how to budget and open bank accounts and even become first-time homeowners. We have human service case management, helping people enroll their kids in school, get through social services departments, fill out all kinds of paperwork. We have 2 mentoring programs that are wonderful tools to build relationships between people. We have educational programs in homes. We have a safe homes program that deals with lead prevention primarily and now weatherization. And we have a spiritual wellness program, which is really unique. We have a team of spiritual care providers that work with our patients and ask them if they have any prayer requests, anything we can talk to them about, or anywhere we could refer them to help them deal with spiritual issues. We actually spend the little time that they spend in a waiting room between the big waiting room and when the doctor actually enters the room, and someone will come in and just chat with them for a few minutes. And we've had doctors and our spiritual care workers invited back to people's homes to meet their families, and relationships are born out of that, of our spiritual nature, and it's exciting to watch those things happen because they don't happen in your typical doctor's office. Jericho Road is the only place where when I go to the doctor, somebody comes in and offers to pray with me, and that's been a great way for me to feel more at peace about whatever I happen to be there for. I want to explain a little bit about, also, I didn't remember to mention on the first service, in addition to all these services that we offer on the east side and the west side, and we have a clinic in both places, we have other buildings, case management building, we have a mentoring center building, we have just acquired the facility right near the Broadway Market on Broadway, 1021 Broadway. It's 110,000 square feet, and it's just enormous. I couldn't get a visual picture in my head of what that would look like until I saw another building for sale out on Route 62 in Hamburg that was a former Catholic school and had a sign out in front that said 46,000 square feet. And I thought, wow, our building on Broadway is going to be 2.5 times that size, and this was an enormous building to me. So that's a blessing from God. And it's always great to see how God works in response. When we work, God works even harder. And when we spend the time with his people, I believe God is blessed, and he blesses us in return in amazing ways. So I want to just share a little bit from this passage in Luke about 4 steps to opening doors of hope, love, and justice. A few years ago, I read this book by Rick Warren called 40 Days of Love. It's a book he wrote, actually, I think it came out right before Valentine's Day, but it was on the topic of scriptural love and what that means. And one of the chapters deals with this passage in Luke, and he does it in a beautiful way, and it had a lot of meaning for me about the work that we do at Jericho Road and about what we're called to do with our lives. I always think about the passage in Micah. The verse says, what does God require of us? And this passage in Luke, Jesus gives this parable in answer to a question that a man asked him that said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So these were not, you know, casual suggestions of if you've got a little time on your hands, what can you do with your spare time? These are questions of life and death. What does God require of us? It's not optional, the justice, the mercy, and the humility. And in this passage in Luke, what's required of us to inherit eternal life is to live like this Samaritan did. And so I think it's so important that we get it. So what are these 4 steps? Because as a Samaritan, we can open doors for children in so many ways. And the first step is in verse 33, and it says there, turn back a page. Okay, verse 33 says, but a Samaritan, and I always like that, starts with a but, and it's like these bad things happen. He was beaten up, 2 different people ignored him, but finally, this is the good news. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, so the first step to becoming a good neighbor, or the first step towards ministering to people in the name of Jesus, is to see the needs around us. And it was just great to watch a children's sermon because I thought, this lovely lady must have been reading my notes over my shoulder. Because she had these children look and see these pictures of these children in need. And that's the first step. We need to see the needs around us. We get so busy that sometimes we don't see the person right next to us needs a hug or needs a prayer or needs a phone call, or your neighbor just needs a visit, because we're busy doing our own thing and we're focused on ourselves and not the people around us. So we don't have to go all the way to Africa. I should mention Jericho Road has a clinic in Africa, 2 clinics in Africa, 1 in Sierra Leone and 1 in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And 1 opened in 2015, 1 opened at the beginning of 2016, and we're going to open a 3rd clinic also in Sierra Leone by the end of this year, and we hope that in 2019 we'll be opening a clinic in Nepal. And it's important to recognize that we don't just go to these places and, you know, set up a clinic. We have followed our patients back home in every one of those cases. We've had a refugee who has come to us, become a patient, become a really integral part of what we do at Jericho Road, and asked us to come back home with them where the medical care is so inferior or non-existent, and open clinics. And God has been with us and so faithful in all of those efforts. So we truly are serving people around the world right now, and that's an exciting thing to be part of. So this idea of seeing the needs, for some of us it's really easy, and some needs are very easy to see, but other needs are much deeper and takes time, and we need to build relationships with people to find out where their brokenness is, what kind of healing they need above and beyond their physical healing. So in verse 33, the next thing we see after seeing the need, it says, when he saw him, the next phrase, he took pity on him. Now, that's what God's looking for. The verse in Micah that says, do justice or act justly, love mercy. You know, it's the mercy part that God's looking for next. We see a need and we respond from our heart. And this is very much about the nature of Jericho Road and what we do. It's a heart ministry, it's a relationship ministry, and everything we do there is based on relationships. Almost all of our programs are built around spending time with each other, mentoring, small group programs. It's not just isolated encounters with people or giving them instructions. And I wanted to share with you an email that I received last week from Dr. Glick as a board member. This went out to all the staff and the board, and he has a young woman who is considering coming to Jericho Road to work as a labor and delivery doctor. And he sent her a note, and he said to her, why Jericho Road? You have a lot of choices. We're very excited that she's considering us. And she replied back with this message that said, I guess a big part of why Jericho Road comes from sitting on labor and delivery during residency. There's a prevalence of all kinds of sideways things being said from physicians, nurses, students, about patients, their visitors, their partners, their life choices, and their circumstances. And that's really sad to hear from someone in the medical community just starting out. But the remarkable thing about the birth workers from Jericho Road, the midwives and physicians, is that they talked about the women and their families with utmost respect. They presented patients professionally and respectfully. In the face of a high-stress, unpredictable, potentially quite messy situation, human dignity was preserved. This is important. I have strong feelings about birth. Respect women, respect the process, ask permission before touching anyone, explain what is happening, and meet their families where they are and be there with them. This is not a problem. This is not just a patient. This is a person, and it's a privilege to be a physician. It's an unbelievable privilege to be a birth worker. I stand in awe of that. So that just tells you a little bit about who we are at Jericho Road from the perspective of our staff or potential staff, and it's encouraging as both a patient for me and as a member of the board of directors to read that that's how we're perceived by someone who worked with us in an internship position. So we're going to see the needs, we respond to the needs with love, and the third step to opening doors is to seize the moment. And I'm going to refer to verse 34, where it says, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Now, in those days, that's not what we do at Jericho Road, usually. Oil and wine, no. But that's what the man had available. And I like the idea that what God asks us to do is use what we have on hand to do whatever we can. And we all have something. You know, we all have gifts from God's, we all have resources, we all have a certain amount of time, and that's what God's asking of us. Do what you can with what you have. We don't have to do anything extraordinary. We do see extraordinary people in our world, and we've met many of those at Jericho Road. We've had great collaborations with other organizations and wonderful people all around the world. Our clinic in Congo is working under the auspices of a group, a Swedish Baptist group, that has been providing services in mental health for children who are victims of the horrible violence that's happened in Congo for many years. And so that's a great partnership for us. And partnerships are very important. We're going to have some wonderful partnerships in our new facility on Broadway. 12 different agencies are participating in a collaborative work to bring in services, Mental Health Association of Western New York, and parenting groups like EPIC and Buffalo Ultrasound is moving into our building. So we're not doing this all alone. We're really doing it with whoever God sends us, whatever doors God opens for us. So that's an important part of what we're doing. And it's important that we seize the moment and do what we can with what we have, because we only have today. And we have people who walk through our doors every day for whom it's a life and death situation. And for us to have the opportunity to serve them is a tremendous blessing. So the fourth step, so we want to see the needs, respond with love and mercy, seize the moment. And then fourthly, we need to know going in and realize it's going to cost us something. In the story, in verses 34 and 35, Luke tells us, "Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.'" There's always a cost to kindness. For this man, it cost him 2 silver coins plus some time. For us, it may cost us money. It may be that what's needed for a need that you see is a financial contribution. But it may be that you need a little time to donate. It may be that you're going to be inconvenienced. Something has to give in order for you to provide an answer to a need. And we need to remember that going in. It cost Jesus his life to save us, to give us eternal life. What we're asked to do is so small in comparison, and the blessings and the benefits are so big in comparison to what we give, that we need to remember the balance. On the balance, you know, God is always giving more, trusting us with his children, privileging us to use us in his service, and those kind of blessings just can't be put in monetary terms or any other kind of terms. But we do need to recognize that we're giving our time, we're giving our sometimes our comfort. I had a chance to talk to a group on a mission trip this summer about getting out of your comfort zone, and I read something that said, I like to be comfortable. You know, everybody's always saying, get out of your comfort zone. Why? It's nice to be comfortable. And it really is, you know, I have comfort zones, at home and other places. That's where I feel the most comfortable. But I'm always so glad when I accept a challenge to get out of my comfort zone and do something somewhere else for somebody. I'm blessed in so many ways that I never imagined. And that happens to us at Jericho Road. I had an email. Dr. Glick right now is in Sierra Leone with 2 of our staff members who are not medical staff members. It's the head of our HR department. She just wants to see what does Jericho look like in Africa. And so she's on this trip. Our new development director is there. She came to the U.S. as a refugee from Zimbabwe when she was 8 years old. She's never been back. She's going back where she came from, and it's changing her life. She's seeing her situation as a refugee and now a citizen of the United States in a different light. And Dr. Glick sent this message to us about what's happening in Sierra Leone right now. You might remember that a few years ago there was a terrible Ebola outbreak that affected huge numbers of people in Sierra Leone and other countries in West Africa. And Jericho Road was there during that. Dr. Glick himself was in Sierra Leone during the outbreak. But some good things came out of that terrible time of crisis. And he sent this message to the staff and board this week. In the aftermath of Ebola several years ago, Jericho Road partnered with the Sierra Leone Alliance to support Ebola orphans. We provided help for these vulnerable children to go to school, obtain food, and provided psychosocial support and counseling since they had lost their parents. When the program ended last year, Jericho Road was able to obtain a small grant from the U.S. Embassy to build 10 greenhouses in the communities where we had supported the Ebola orphans. They've all been now assimilated into families in Sierra Leone, which is just the culture in that country that the community takes in the orphans. The World Hope team built each greenhouse, helped us organize each community into co-ops, and helped provide our team with technical support. This afternoon, our JR team was able to visit several of these greenhouses. One was filled with cabbage, the other was filled with cucumbers. Harvest will come next month, and the vegetables will be sold in local markets right here in Koidu Town. The money will then be divided and shared by each co-op member. Seeds will be planted again, and another crop will start to grow. It was really encouraging to see the small grant come to life and see the greenhouses working well, used again for a positive purpose, providing sustenance to these vulnerable children and their adopted families. So when you think about Jericho Road and the name Community Health Center, I would like you to remember we're not just a health center. We're there serving God's people, seeing needs, responding to these needs really from the heart, and counting the cost, trying to be the best stewards we can possibly be to the needs that we find. And we invite you to come along. There are a lot of other great organizations in Buffalo serving the most vulnerable people, and many of them children. There's a great story in the news today in Section C, the first page of Section C, about a group of nuns on the west side who are doing an after-school program with the Somali Bantu community in Buffalo, and they've also connected with a group of residents of East Aurora who have a couple of large tracts of land that they're donating for the Somali people to come out to East Aurora and farm their land, because these people, most of our refugees, were farmers or fishermen before they came as refugees. And they're so happy to be farming again. They didn't want to live in an inner city, but that's where they were placed, and you know, they're making the best of what they have and where they are. But this is a real blessing for them. And those folks in East Aurora had land that they were not using. It was using what you have to meet a need that you see. And it's blessing so many families. And word is spreading very fast, not just the Somali community now in Buffalo, but other refugee communities are hoping to have opportunities like their Somali brethren. So when you look at this passage and you wonder, like this teacher of the law did, what do we need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? And he answers with this parable, and Jesus says, go and do likewise. So that's my challenge to each of us today, is that whoever God puts in your path, you're not going down the road to Jericho. You'll be going somewhere this week. You may see someone with a need, and I just pray that you and I will respond to the need, we'll see it, and we'll do whatever we can with what we have. Thank you.